All right, so last night, another episode of MasterChef Canada, and today we are talking with the person who, unfortunately, was sent home, Aaron Polsky. How you doing today, Aaron?
I'm doing all right. How you doing, Shane?
Not bad, thank you. What's it like watching yourself on TV, first of all?
It's so weird reliving the whole experience on television. You know, we filmed the whole thing a little while back, and reliving it episode by episode on the television, sitting on the couch with your friends and family, can be a little bit daunting. It's like PTSD or something.
So now, once you're eliminated after filming, I guess you don't get to see the rest of the filming, right? So from here on out, everything's new to you, or do you kind of have an idea of what's going to happen?
Oh, no, everything's new to me at this point, you know? I'm in the same seat as all the viewers at this point, and I look forward to seeing who takes it down, you know? You go into the competition thinking that, you know, everybody's your competitor, and you're going to toe the hard line and be strategic, and you know, you really find that you end up making some real relationships and some real friends. So I look forward to cheering my friends on from the sidelines.
Awesome. Now while you're there, do you ever look back when you're watching on TV and go, why did I do that when I was there? Why did I do this? Oh, that's ridiculous. I should have done this instead. I mean, hindsight's 20/20, but how much of that goes through your head every week?
Every week. I mean, as soon as the challenge is over, you start thinking about how you could have done it 50 different ways. But you know what? When you're given a challenge that takes you to the limit or even outside of your comfort zone, and they say, here's 5 ingredients, you have an hour, go. You don't have time to second guess yourself. You just got to go with the first idea that comes to mind and execute it as well as possible. Because if you spend 15 minutes making a game plan, you're going to be 15 minutes short at the end of the cook.
Right. So now, speaking of that, did it teach you anything about, you know, being a little quicker in the kitchen, or, you know, teach you maybe the importance of prepping ahead of time or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, mise en place is critical. For any home cook or any professional kitchen, if you're not prepared, you're done. It's like in the Cub Scouts, always be prepared. Wasn't that a thing?
Yeah.
You know, you just have to set yourself up to win or not set yourself up, and you're bound to fail. You know, an organized kitchen and an organized workspace is an efficient kitchen. It's an efficient workspace, and that applies to home cooks just as well as it does professionals.
So, you know, while you're on the show and stuff, what would be your biggest takeaway? Maybe something you learned from another chef or another home cook, or like one of the judges, maybe just something that you learned through the experience that, other than preparation, what was something that you took away?
You know, the biggest takeaway that I have is the only thing that stands in the way of you and your dreams is your fear of failing. And once you can overcome that, you can do just about anything. You know, some of the tasks on the show seem insurmountable. Like, there's no way that it's possible for a human being to get this done. But when you're put up against it, it's really extraordinary what one person or two people or a group of people can accomplish when they're given a task that seems like it just can't get done. You can do it. You really, really can.
Perfect. So now, when you watched last night's episode back, you know, I know you said, you know, you go through your head a million times, I wouldn't do that this way, I wouldn't do that way, but what would be the one thing that you think would have changed, that might have changed the outcome? If there was only one little tweak you could have made, what would that have been?
Evidently, a pinch of cloves. you know, when you're serving guests, whether you're serving guests in a restaurant or you're serving your family at your dining room table, you always taste what you serve them before you serve it to them, of course. Unfortunately, within the constraints of this challenge, we had to hand over a tagine that was covered so that the chefs could uncover them themselves and release all of the steam. And there wasn't that opportunity to get one last taste and balance it, add a little bit of acid, a little bit of salt. In this case, the judges found cloves to be a little bit bitter, but you know, think about bittersweet chocolate. The fix there is sweet, you know, a little bit of apricots, a little bit of pomegranate molasses. You know, just a touch of something could have gone a long way had I had the opportunity to taste it before I served it to those judges.
Right. So you know, what's kind of next for you? What's on the horizon?
So right now I'm actually really excited. I'm working on a project here in Montreal with my partner, Anthony Benda of Café Myriad. We're working on opening a tapas bar down in the St. Henry neighborhood. It's going to be called Bar Linda at 4606 Notre Dame West. And it's going to be really excited, really, you know, tapas and pinchos in the spirit of Barcelona and San Sebastian. We're going to be doing really high-quality preserved seafood and fish. We're going to be doing fried peppers and beautiful jamon iberico and a great wine list and sherries. And I really hope that people in Montreal, as well as from across Canada, come out and visit us.
Perfect. Where'd the name come from?
So, Linda in Spanish means pretty. So that's a little bit the inspiration for the name. It's Bar Linda, and Linda translates to pretty in Spanish. I thought that it was a really clever sort of lighthearted thing.
Nice. There you go. So people are listening and they're going, all right, you know, I see these people every day on or every week on TV and they're making these elaborate meals. Meanwhile, I'm at home, I'm making chicken fingers and rice or something for my kids and my family. How do I upgrade to somewhere in between? What would be your suggestion to them?
You know something? People are often unnecessarily intimidated to cook for people who are chefs or who consider themselves to be or who others consider to be, you know, excellent cooks. The truth of the matter is, I like nothing more than when somebody cooks for me. For me, cooking is the best way that I know how to show people that I love them. And when people cook for me, it shows me the same thing. When I have a bad day, I don't want to sit down to a fancy meal. I want to go home and have a roast chicken and potatoes. I want to have shepherd's pie. I want to have chicken pot pie. I want something comforting. And, you know, people sell themselves short a lot. Everybody is a great cook if they cook for their family. It's really a way to show people that you love them. It's more than just sustenance. It's more than just nutrition. It's life. It really is. And you know, that's important to me.
Right on. Well, you know, thanks for taking some time today, and good luck with Bar Linda in the future, and, you know, enjoy watching the rest of the season on TV.
Thank you very much for the well wishes, and thank you for the time.